How can we as healthcare practitioners move from just providing disease management to providing true healthcare? That is the question, and this is the answer. Welcome to Reinvent Healthcare, the podcast that helps you grow your practice and expand your skills as a practitioner. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Reinvent Healthcare, the podcast for health professionals and wellness-minded people who are passionate about transforming our broken medical system into a true healthcare system. The plant versus animal debate is heated, to say the least. Everybody thinks their diet is the best diet. How many times have you been caught in a debate about what the best diet is? Having to defend your choices. It shouldn't be that way. Today, we're going to look at the science and the opinions and differentiate science from opinions. There's room for both and help you to make sense of it. So there's a lot of debate and there's a lot of people out there like anti-plant-based diet. There's a lot of people out there and saying any diet that includes meat or animal products of any kind is awful. And I think they're comparing apples to oranges. I mean, obviously a plant-based diet is very different from a meat-based diet. But let's talk about what they're comparing. When we look at people who are anti-plant-based diets, they get in and they say, well, these people who eat a plant-based diet are eating way too many carbohydrate-rich foods, and they're throwing their blood sugar out of balance, and they're eating too many processed foods that are supposed to be meat lookalikes. That's not a healthy plant-based diet, right? And they're comparing that to people who eat a organic diet that has lots of plants plus lots of animal products. And the other end of the coin is when we look at an animal-based diet, we think standard American diet. Garbage, right? Organic meat versus processed meat. Lots of McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken. But what if there was something that we could say that people could choose and make a wise choice, and then all of it comes from a place of whole food, organic food, unrefined food? Would that be a different debate? So I get really irritated when I read or listen to books where they're talking about how plant-based eaters are so unhealthy, and they're talking about people who are on refined and ultra-processed plant food diets. That's not what we should be looking at. And then they say, well, animal-based diets are much better, and they're talking about people who are eating organic animal products and lots of veggies with it. Okay, so let's compare what we should be comparing. The pros of a plant-based diet that a lot of folks are putting out there, and I believe it's true, is it's environmentally more friendly. So compared to the animal agriculture, plant-based diets generally have a lower environmental impact. They have less hydrogen wastes, and they use less land than animals, and they use less resources above all. The animal-based proponents will say that that's not true, that plants generate more of a carbon footprint than animals. What's the truth? I think we can argue it both ways. I think that we don't want to get into an argument about my diet's better than your diet. What we want to do is look at the facts, look at each individual person, and help to decide what's the best diet for them. Some people do a plant-based diet from a standpoint not of health, but of environment and ethics, and they are against animal slaughter. Great. Those people also need to factor in the fact of health. A lot of those people say, as long as it's from a plant, as long as it has no animals in it, it's healthy, or it's okay for me to eat. Those people are eating a very unhealthy, unbalanced plant-based diet. And then there's the people who think that, you know, if you don't eat animals, and then you're going to be sick, and they try to convince these other people to do it. I've seen lots of that. I have lots of people who have come to me and said, you know, I went to this doctor or that doctor, we're trying to get my health back, and they insisted I need to eat animals in order to get well. Can you help me? My experience in over 30 years of working with people is rarely do I have to recommend that somebody eat animal products if they don't want to. Some people do better when they include small amounts of whole, organically raised animal products, but I'm not going to tell them they have to. I mean, personally, I've been doing 100% plants for 38 years, and I'm very healthy and I'm very active and very athletic. Does that work for everybody? Not necessarily. There's so many things that go into health and how you balance people out. But I find that when you can get people on a lot more plants and a lot less animals, but also a lot less processed food, that's the biggie. So I'm not a big like, oh, you have to go 100% plant-based to be healthy. No, I don't believe that. I choose it for me and it works well for me, but it depends on what you're choosing from the plant kingdom and what you're choosing from the animal kingdom. There's no one size fits all. Doesn't work in shoes. It doesn't work in bodies. So plant foods, pros, they are definitely loaded with nutrients. Per calorie, there's way more nutrition in many plant foods than there are in animal foods. The exception being a few nutrients that, of course, the animal proponents will say, absolutely, plant foods are deficient because they don't have enough vitamin D and they don't have enough vitamin B12. And they don't get enough zinc. The B12, yeah, that's okay. That's not there. I believe, and a lot of pro-plant people believe, that we used to be able to get the B12 from the soil, from the organisms. That's where it comes from. That's where animals get it. But because we wash our food so much and it's so sterile and we peel everything, we don't actually get those organisms that will help us make B12. And then we get deficient in that kind of, you know, passed down generationally. But there's also a lot of people who are eating animal-based diets who are deficient in B12 because they don't make enough stomach acid, they don't make enough intrinsic factor, and their digestive tracts are shot. So there's so many things that go into this, and there's no one-size-fits-all. And when you're working with somebody, you need to be looking at not just their nutrients, you have to be looking at how do you fit the dietary changes into their life. And that's what's super important. So plants have great sources of fiber. Animal products don't. The carnivores are saying you don't need fiber. But I don't know. I mean, that kind of is defying basic science. We need fiber to absorb the toxins and to help like push things through the intestinal tract. I'm not here to argue that we need fiber or not. I'm here to present some facts. High fiber diets have been found to be very helpful in lowering cancer risk, lowering especially colon cancer risk, and lowering cholesterol. So all of these things play in. We have to decide for each person and work with them to decide. Once you decide, you've got to be able to put together the healthiest version of the diet that they're moving towards. So vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals that we haven't even discovered yet, phytochemicals that we have, antioxidants, there's a lot of that in the plants. The pros of plant foods also, there are studies that are correlational studies. They're not double-blind placebo-controlled studies because it's hard to do that across somebody's 50-year lifespan, 75-year lifespan, but may reduce the risk of chronic diseases, right? A lot of studies show that people who eat a whole foods balanced plant food diet have lower heart disease, have lower cancer, et cetera. And of course, carnivore proponents are going to argue with that. But the truth is, this is out there in the literature. You've got people like Esselstein, who's taking people who have been through the mill and all kinds of drugs, and he takes them off the animal products and puts them on a clean whole foods plant-based diet. We have things like when we look at the blue zones, right? They have higher plant intake. So there's just a lot to look at here. Correlationally, we do tend to see lower disease rates in people who are eating more plants. It doesn't have to be 100%. I haven't seen anything that shows that it should be 100%, but 100% works. But we have to have the right balance. If we're going to eat animal products and recommend that to people, there has to be organic, whole, unprocessed animal foods in balance with the fibers and all the other nutrients. So we need to be looking, if we're recommending anybody to eat animals, that it's the right kind of animals. It's animals that have been organically raised and pastured, aren't loaded with chemicals and all that. And we need to make sure that they're not processed and they're not like on a standard American diet and getting their meat from McDonald's. A lot of people say to me, I eat mostly plant-based. I'm like, great. I don't eat plant-based when I go out because it's harder in a restaurant. And I'm like, you need to eat plant-based when you're out and you can eat organic meat that you control when you're in. few restaurants do offer that, and that's fine. But for the most part, if somebody wants to eat animals, they shouldn't be getting them from KFC or McDonald's. They shouldn't be getting it from the local grocery store. No, they should be making sure that it's the highest quality going on. Same thing with plants. We don't want people eating organic corn chips because they're organic compared to kale that's not organic. We have to look at the total nutrient package of that. And I don't care if it's organic or not. If it's a processed food, it's probably not good for you. So those are all the things you should be taking into account when you're designing diets. So there's a lot of variations of both plant strong and animal strong diets. So I'm going to go through a few of these. A typical person who says, I'm going to go plant-based because I want to save the animals and I want to save the environment, eats a highly processed plant-based diet. They don't eat a lot of vegetables. They eat a lot of grains. They eat a lot of white rice, bread, and they eat a lot of the ultra-processed foods. Ultra-processed foods have been processed so much that you're taking out the good stuff and you're putting in dangerous chemicals and colorings and all that. And a lot of them are doing that. Plant-based meats. I'm not a big fan of plant-based meats because there's a lot of stuff in there, right? If you're going to eat a plant-based diet, you want it to be vegetable-rich, antioxidant-rich. If you're eating grains, it's because we're recommending people to eat grains. It needs to be whole grains. And I think you need a blood sugar meter to make sure it's not shooting their sugars up, because a lot of people are sensitive and prone to diabetes and insulin resistance, and we need to make sure that they're not eating too many carbohydrates. There's a macrobiotic diet, which tends to be a very balanced in terms of lots of colorful vegetables. It's all whole foods, but they tend to promote too much in the way of grains, like too much rice, like 75% is rice. We need to have more of a balanced approach there, nuts and seeds and avocados and tons of vegetables. We have a whole foods plant-based, and a lot of the whole foods plant-based that people out there, they're not focusing on glycemic index, and not everybody has to, but a lot of people who do whole foods plant-based are, again, doing a lot of grains and a lot of foods that, like breads and pastas and things like that, which I don't believe are whole foods, by the way. Once you make something into flour and then into a bread or into a pasta, it's not really a whole food. Let's just be really critical here. So whole foods plant-based is good. And some of them are oil-free, great, because a lot of people think, oh, I'm on a whole foods plant-based diet, but they're slathering olive oil over everything. And oil's not the best food either. It's not whole. It's processed, right? We've taken away the fiber, we've taken away everything else, and it's just left with fat. So it's really looking at, what does this person eat? What do they need? Some people need extra oil because their digestive tract's shot. They have a very high metabolic rate and they can't get enough calories from whole foods. But we need to be the voices of reason that help people with it. The Mediterranean diet is very high in plants. And a lot of olive oil, which I don't agree with, but that's another version of it. Very high nutrient dense diet works for some people. And then there's raw foods diet, which nothing's cooked. And so if that eliminates some classes of foods like legumes and grains, although some people sprout those and incorporate them in there, a lot of people on a raw foods diet are actually using too much in the way of sugars because they're thinking, oh, agave, maple syrup isn't really, none of those processed sugars are whole foods. So we really should be eliminating them. But even on a raw foods diet that is primarily or almost 100% raw food, we're still getting some things in there that may be not good for us. So a lot of them are way too much fruit. There's a fruitarian diet. People think you only need fruit. And quite frankly, I tried that once. I tried, you know, balancing it with greens, but I tried that and it just created cravings and my blood sugar was all over the map. So you as a practitioner need to find out all the things about this person, not only their metabolic rate, their blood sugar handling, their gut microbiome tendencies, looking at their genetics, looking at their labs, but looking at their culture and looking at the food. You can teach them to make all their favorite cultural foods, all their favorite ethnic foods using whole foods, without having to go to eating a lot of oils and a lot of that. I make pizza. I grew up Italian. I make pizza. My crust is made with flax seeds and chia seeds, and I've got hemp seeds in there, and then I've got cauliflower and zucchini and other veggies. That's what my crust is, and it's delicious. And then I make cheeses out of various nuts and seeds, and I load up with vegetables. People eat my pizza and just are like blown away that it's good for them. So you, as a practitioner, need to learn these tricks. You need to learn how to make these foods palatable, make them useful in their ethnic tendencies, and make them whole foods and very nutritious. We need to look at plant-based myths. We need to look at the comparisons that are made. And meat diets are not better. Plants diets are not better. It's what we put in those diets. And I think that if we have people eating the plants that they tolerate, you know, because some people have oxalate sensitivities or food sensitivities, and we have to take that into account. In my experience in over 30 years of practice, when we do look at that, we see that some people are sensitive to those things because their gut's a mess. And when we can heal their gut, we can make huge strides in helping them to get healthier. So we need to look at all of this. And carnivore proponents, these are people who just eat meat, or they eat meat plus dairy products, or meat plus dairy products plus egg. And they claim that they get a lot better, but those are people who have food sensitivities. Those are people who don't tolerate a lot of the plants. They get rid of them all. And it could be a decent transition diet for a lot of people, but we have to move them to more of balance, because long-term studies have not been done on people just eating meat. We do have to look, and we have to compare whole foods diets to whole foods diets, whether they're plant-based or animal-based. And we have to not look at the people eating the junk, because the people eating the junk, the people eating processed foods, whether they're predominantly plant or predominantly meat, they're going to have problems. And they may have more problems on a meat-based diet. They may have more problems on a plant-based diet that's junk food. But they're different problems. So we have to look at that. We have to look at the lower in protein quality. We can get plenty of protein. And when I look at and I put these diets through, if people are eating calorie-sufficient whole foods diets, they're rarely protein deficient. And if they are, it's specific amino acids that they may not be getting enough of, or they have inborn errors of metabolism for that. Some of the animal diets that we look at are, of course, the standard American diet. So the animal products that they're eating there are McDonald's and KFC and, you know, all the pepperoni on the pizza, etc. We look at the carnivore movement, which is relatively new in the past, you know, half a decade or so. And people are big proponents of it. Kale is bad. Beef is good. But, you know, we can't sustain the world on organically raised meat. We'd have to decimate all the parking lots and all the buildings and all the rainforests in order to create grazing land. So we have to find a diet that works with a smaller amount of animal products. If they're going to include them, it's not necessary for most people. You can't be eating non-organically raised cattle that are raised in these pens and they're fed antibiotics. You can't expect somebody to be healthy eating that way. But if we push the whole world to eat animals as the predominant source of their fuel, we are going to decimate the world, because we can't do it that way. So then we have people eating substandard animal products. And there's a lot of videos and movies and documentaries about this, and I don't have time to go into all of that. But basically, we need to be looking at that as a possible problem. The conventional keto diet, right? High fat, they're having people eat lard and tallow and fats from animals and keeping, you know, the meat and the butter. I call it the butter and bacon diet. And I was kiddingly calling it that until I found a book on Amazon called The Butter and Bacon Diet, which was a keto diet. You can have somebody who needs to do a keto-ish diet, I call it. A plant-based keto-ish diet can be super healthy for people as long as it's whole food plant-based fats, not oils and margarines and all that kind of stuff. And they eat the right amount of carbs for their constitution. Gets into kind of a mild state of ketosis. And that's good for people who have a tendency towards blood sugar imbalance. And paleo similarly. I say, what if we looked at a hybrid approach? What if we looked at customizing for each person, a hybrid approach that's whole foods, plant-centered? If they want to be 100%, then you guide them into how do they make sure that they're getting their vitamin D, their vitamin B12, their some of like zinc, you have to make sure you're getting high zinc foods and some of the Bs. But for the most part, it's very easy to do. And the protein part is just a small part of that. We can have keto-like plant-based diets. So people who can't do the grains and the fruits a lot, they need to have more of the whole foods, plant-based fats to make up the calories, right? So that's a something, and that's something that I personally follow and a lot of people that I work with follow, and they do phenomenally. They reverse their diabetes. They reduce cancer recurrence. They feel better. They have more energy. Not for everybody, but it works really well. We have to look at the fat quality in the meals. Tallow and lard, which are just animal fats that have been extracted from the protein, I don't see that as high quality food. Hydrogenated oils, margarines and things like that, and heated oils when we fry things in oil, not good. So I'm a fan of not oil, but whole food fats. And we can have a phenomenal diet when you guide people that way. And organic as much as possible. We're not going to be able to go organic 100% just because of this world. It's going to limit your food choices, but organic as much as possible. But if you're guiding somebody and they're going to be eating animal products, it needs to be organic. If it's not organic, it's going to be loaded with pesticides and herbicides and bovine growth hormones and all that sort of stuff. So there's a lot to consider. We have a whole, 180, 200 hour program on functional nutrition, which goes through the foods in great detail. And how do you determine what person needs to do a high protein, low fat diet? What person needs to do a low oxalate diet, et cetera, et cetera. So if you want more information, check the show notes and I'll give you a link. It's not for the faint of heart. It's for people who really want to know the science and want to be able to guide people to the right diet for them. So hopefully you'll reach out and we can talk about it if it's good for you and your practice. In medical school, if that's where you went, or nursing school, you didn't learn any of this stuff. You didn't learn about nutrition. You didn't learn about, you might have learned what vitamin C is or does, but you don't have all the hours of training. Maybe you got a couple of hours of training. We're big on getting people into that. So you can go to inemethod.com, but also we'll put some links in the show notes so we can chat to see if it's a good fit for you. So for more in-depth training, visit us at inemethod.com. Keep in mind, you have the power to change people's lives. It starts with connecting and listening to them, hearing their story, hearing what they've done before, what they haven't done before, what their preferences are from an ethical, from a cultural standpoint, and help them to design the diet that's just right for them. So thank you for being part of this shift in our healthcare movement. And until next time, shine on.
Thanks for listening to Reinvent Healthcare. We are part of the movement to change healthcare for the better. If you liked this episode, leave a rating and a review. And for more resources to support you in growing a thriving and fulfilling practice, visit our website at inemethod.com.